The word of the Lord from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Arise, go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, of the court of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returned, sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our gospel proclamation comes from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 8 that I just finished reading for you and serves as the basis of our theme for the fifth Sunday of Easter: suffering, risen, Savior, Jesus. Today, the Acts of the Apostles shows us that the church is starting to get organized, and the mission of word and sacrament is being done by the Holy Spirit through the original seven deacons of the church: Stephen, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, and today our focus deacon, Philip. And what Philip does today, most people do not realize, has its origin in King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 8, which tells us, upon the completion of the temple he built, "Let these words of mine which I have pleaded before the Lord be near to the Lord our God day and night. And may he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, by which he requires that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other." Solomon established the temple of the Lord as a mission to the world. And just a few decades later, the queen of Sheba, of the Sabaeans in southern Arabia, and of nearby Ethiopia, traveled over 1,000 miles to come see this wonder of the world in its making. Today in our lesson, a millennium later, a eunuch of the Queen of Ethiopia continues the tradition of worshiping with the one true God in Jerusalem. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he encounters Philip on his way home. And the way that Philip starts the conversation might surprise any of us. Upon hearing the eunuch reading Isaiah, he literally says, "So, do you even know what you're reading?" And I think that's normal for us know-it-all Christians. Just the other day, I caught a TikTok of a couple of girls claiming to know how misogynistic and racist the Bible is. And the sum total of their knowledge was what happened to Adam and Eve. And even then, they got that wrong. Now, it would have been very easy for the young man debating them to be condescending to their ignorance. But he was good, pointing out a host of scripture that proved them wrong, and he did it gently and lovingly. So even though Philip's language can come across that way, and I think we all do this, our love should still overflow in such a way that those who disagree or misunderstand us still know we care for them. I believe Philip's love did that. And for sure, the eunuch knows something. I mean, he picked a major prophet. Plus, he had to have some kind of wisdom to be able to spend the kind of money he did to buy this scroll of Isaiah. But like so many of us, just reading the prophets on our own can be daunting. So even to the properly catechized, today's section of Isaiah might have confused any one of us. The eunuch asks one reasonable question, to which Philip accommodates him, and upon reading together, he asks an even more important question for us to consider today. I ask you, about whom is the prophet speaking this? Concerning himself or concerning some other? Good question. Now, we have the benefit of 2 millennia of theological commentary to know this is about Jesus even before we read the next verse. But what if all we had was Isaiah and the Old Testament, like Philip and the other 6 deacons of the early church, and everyone else in the New Testament did? You see, they were not reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If they were lucky, they had a scroll of Isaiah at their local temple. And we may not think about this much, but the apostles were not reading their Acts. They were living them. And Luke would go on to record them afterwards under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So our understanding of who Isaiah was talking about came from the apostles as eyewitnesses of Jesus and as to what he taught them before he ascended into heaven. Knowing that, the eunuch's question is an interesting one. And it got me thinking how often we see that question in a somewhat similar way from our perspective, rather than from the perspective of Isaiah. Do we think we are the suffering ones, ignoring Christ's suffering? If we're trying to figure out who is really suffering and we don't look to Christ and his suffering, this can change our perspective on scripture entirely. If it's not Christ's suffering and it is our suffering alone, scripture can become a series of moral tales that just helps us figure out how to relieve our suffering. And scripture can even become a god unto itself of holy and precious words that must be preserved above recognizing who gave it to us and why he gave it to us. We can even see the church as a sacred space where no one is supposed to suffer, because we're supposed to follow these moral tales properly so we do not have to suffer. This perspective will kill your faith faster than Satan ever could. But what if our focus is exactly where Isaiah's focus was? And just a few simple questions can get us there if we consider whose suffering matters. Do we suffer in silence? Are we innocent, blameless sheep? Has our life been taken? Has our justice been denied to us? How humble are we, actually? Does our suffering look like a Christian suffers? Or do we cry in protest while we gaslight others for the suffering, quite frankly, we deserve? When Pastor Moore was a lieutenant in the Coast Guard and commanded a boat. He experienced an interesting incident. One of his sailors did not suffer like a sailor should, and even gaslighted others for the suffering she caused herself by her inept thinking. According to the story, Pastor Maury's boat had a specific mission to track other boats using a civilian boat rather than the traditionally marked boat of the Coast Guard. All a part of the secret mission, I would imagine. And because it was a civilian boat, they were permitted to adorn themselves in civilian attire when on the boat and off duty. Well, one sailor decided that her swimsuit was proper civilian attire and decided to wear that when she was on the boat. Well, this raised eyebrows immediately, and the chief on the boat decided to film her and then share the film with a former female boot camp drill instructor in their unit to ask her opinion about the appropriateness of the swimwear selection. Now, you must understand, this was well over 30 years ago. But you can just imagine how any young lady would react to being taped without her permission in her beach attire. And she was way ahead of her time. Taking no responsibility for her poor choice of civilian attire, she immediately gaslighted everyone in the unit for conspiring to humiliate her and embarrass her, insisting she was the real victim in all of this. And her remonstrations were so over the top, her language so rough before her commanding officer, Pastor Moore, and so disrespectful that Pastor Moore finally, in exasperation, said, "No one is going to listen to you if you keep acting like a jerk." You see, she was vulnerable in her position, and the way she was bringing her case was offensive enough to erase her somewhat valid concerns. This is a perfect example of the way we suffer as Christians. We get so over the top about our suffering that we lose the point of the suffering. Ultimately, our suffering should point the lost to Christ, for whom we gladly suffer because of the ultimate suffering he submitted to on our behalf. When we're not properly focused on Christ, we cannot help but see his... When we're properly focused on Christ, we cannot help but see his suffering in our place. As he serves us with the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of our faith, so we can suffer for the sake of the gospel, knowing our ultimate hope in everything is through him. Philip wasn't suffering at all in our lesson today, and neither was the eunuch. But I imagine he, and maybe the eunuch as well, if they did not suffer themselves, were most certainly caught up in witnessing the suffering of loved ones they shared their faith with. And I don't know if they suffered righteously. Most do not. None of us do. But I do know they knew their suffering Savior. They knew why Jesus suffered and died for them. And they also knew and believed he rose for them, whether they saw him alive or not. And they lived their lives in that faith as we see today. Philip taught the eunuch that he needed baptism. And upon seeing the water, the eunuch stopped the chariot so Philip could baptize him, washing away his sins and sealing him as a child of his suffering, risen Savior, Jesus. Now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.